Welcome to the podcast, Ellen. It's great to have
you.
And I'm excited to introduce you to our audience. So Ellen is a recognized communication expert, speaker, trainer, and best-selling author. And just to dive in a little bit around understanding your business and what you do, tell us what work you're in and what do you really do for people?
Thanks, Marcus, again. I try to help. You mentioned that I'm a speaker and an author. And what I do is I help other speakers and authors turn the knowledge that they have into a successful online business, a profitable online business. People who are speakers or who are authors have really valuable knowledge to give out there. That's why they're driven to speak or to write. But very often they can't maintain that process of getting the knowledge out there because they need to be making money at the same time. They need to survive. So one way of doing that, and this is what I help people do, is to take that knowledge and turn it into products that they can sell. And I start them from the very beginning. I think that's one of the things that I do that's unique, is that if they're starting out, I start them from the very beginning and I teach them what an online business is and how to start that online business, how to create, figure out who you're serving and what problem you're solving and how you solve it, what your solution is, and create a business around that, and then develop some of the building blocks of an online business and go through and create the components of an online business so that at the end they are making some good money by getting their knowledge out to the world by sharing that knowledge.
That's amazing. I think, you know, everyone has something to share with the world. And what really helps to know is that there is a path to sharing your expertise. But what would you say to the people who struggle to accept that they have something worth sharing, something worth talking about? What are the things that stop people in their tracks from really moving forward and connecting with people and offering the value that they that's bottled up inside of them?
I think that there are people who have self-doubt, a lack of self-confidence about whether their knowledge would be useful to people. And I don't do life coaching for people. So usually I work with people who know that their knowledge is valuable. But the problem that they have is that they don't know how to get it out to the world. So they know it's valuable. They might be uncomfortable or have self-doubt about how to get it out to the world or how people will respond to it, but they know it's valuable. And so I help them actually in a lot of ways. Because I'm a writer and a speaker, I do help people actually develop products, develop an outline of what they know, and maybe turn that into a book or a free offer, something like that. So I really, that's one of my skills, is organizing. Like you can see behind me some of my books, that one on the top shelf, it's like it ended up being a 1,200 page book. So I know how to organize complicated content and I help people do that. But a lot of the confusion and the self-doubt and the overwhelm has to do with organizing it and then getting it into a format that will help people, that people will realize will be helpful, and that also getting it to enough people so people will buy. That whole process of creating an online business is something that most people who have that knowledge, speakers and writers, they just don't know how to do that. And that can be very overwhelming and even scary for people. So I try to take them through a step-by-step process to get there.
So take us back in your experience and tell a story about either an early win, an early success, or even a struggle that you had as you were doing this for the first time.
I had an experience with getting my knowledge out in a way that was valuable to people or acceptable to people. I used to write an article for a magazine that no longer exists called Presentations. And I wrote it every 3 months. It was about PowerPoint or presenting. And I wrote an article called Presentations Without Bullets. And in there was a screenshot of a slide that I had created. It didn't have any bullets. And the next month, somebody wrote a letter to the editor that said, please give us better examples. This slide had no focus. It basically putting down my examples. And the reason this was so transformative to me was because I'd already written books about PowerPoint. And I realized I wasn't a designer and I was giving people bad examples. I think that was what the letter said. Don't give us such a bad example of a slide. We had just moved into our house. I had a mortgage and my whole business was based around helping people speak and present and get knowledge out. And so I had to learn how to design slides, even though I wasn't a designer. And this started a whole process of helping people to get their knowledge out in a way that was pleasing and persuasive and clear and powerful. And I had to learn from designers. And I studied presentations that had won awards and I read books about it. And so I went through this whole process until I got to the point where people said, how do you create your slides? They're amazing. And so that happened in the same way when I started running a business. I needed to learn how to write sales copy, for example, in a way that was pleasing and powerful and persuasive to people. I had to learn how to do that. So these are step-by-step things. You don't know them from scratch. And so having gone through this, I went on, my first website was in 1999. So I've been online for a really long time and basically figured out a lot of the stuff by studying and trial and error and been able to come up with a system that I can teach people really systematically how to go through the process so they don't have to try and fail and try and fail, which can be very disheartening.
So have an amazing history, so much experience that you've acquired over the years. And looking back, I'm sure you can see some problems and realize that actually they're a lot smaller than you know, someone who wasn't as experienced might have thought. So what are some of the myths or some of the scary aspects, you know, around turning your knowledge and making an income that really shouldn't hold people back, but that you see for whatever reason are an obstacle, and how could you kind of alleviate that that concern or that hesitation?
Technology is certainly something that overwhelms people and scares people away. And that one of the, I've tried practically everything. I've tried a lot of different types of technologies, and I really try to make the technology simple. Again, going back to that book that you see on the top shelf there, it's a book on AutoCAD, which is a $4,000 piece of software. It's very complicated. And what I did there was I made it simple. And so I do the same thing with technology. I take something that could seem really overwhelming because you hear, you should use this, you should use this. And I just make it simple for people. I definitely use simple techniques. So that's one aspect of it. Another thing I help people with a lot is overcoming a reluctance to promote what you're offering. And so I definitely find there are a lot of people, you know, writers especially, speakers a little bit more outgoing, but writers are often kind of introverted. But both of them, when they start an online business, they have a hard time reaching out to people, either people who are their subscribers, they don't want to sort of give them, you know, email them too much, that kind of thing, or reaching out to partners. They feel uncomfortable reaching out to other people. And so I help them with sort of systematic ways of partnering that are so they can feel a little bit safe, and ideas about how to turn selling into service, turn selling into helping people, so that it doesn't feel like you're being overly salesy or pushing people, which is what it should be. If you have something of value to people, you educate people. There's sometimes something called education marketing, where you educate people and they go, "Oh, yes, I need that." So you have to do that regularly and persistently and consistently, but yet you don't have to be pushy. And so I help people. That's another thing that I help people. Some people, even though they might be writers or speakers, do have trouble getting out the product. And I really help them with that outline that we were talking about, and then expanding that into a full-fledged product and showing them some of the different formats. One of the things that I've discovered is that speakers like to speak and writers like to write. And so if a speaker feels like they need to get out something written, I've discovered that you could use like the dictate feature, and they can just speak it out and get something written that way, and then edit it, and that's much easier for them. So just little techniques like that to help people get their products done.
You know, we live in such a structured society that you go to college and you graduate and you have that one career path. And I think it's becoming more, I should say, less and less structured. Mm-hmm. But we're taught even at a young age to aspire to a certain role or position, you know, to be that writer, maybe even to be a speaker. And some of these concepts can lock us into a way of thinking that, you know, we only do certain things and we don't do other things. And somehow, Ellen, you were able to, you know, put on the designer hat. You were able to step into a skill you weren't familiar with, that you weren't comfortable with, and you learned it. So how would you, you know, encourage people to just be curious and to kind of expand their vision of themselves, and to even try on a different roles that they wouldn't have considered themselves as being skillful in or worth pursuing, but that are critical to expanding an online business and having a bigger reach as a speaker or writer.
So lots of things about that. And funny that you should ask that, because just this morning I read an article about how learning creates resilience. And they just gave these lots of examples about how people would just learn how to do something like off the weird, like play the drums or, you know, some crazy thing, but that always learning something creates this curiosity, like you said, that creates this resilience, so that when you're thrown something new, you feel like you can learn something new. And so I do feel that it's important to schedule in your calendar some time to learn something. It doesn't have to be a whole big course, but something pretty regularly. I would say every week. I usually do that on Saturdays, for example. So that's one thing. The second thing is that, you know, it's really helpful to have a coach when you're doing something new, to have somebody who's more experienced. And if not a coach, it could be an accountability partner or somebody that's already been through some of it or that's willing to support you. Because as you said, sometimes some of those attitudes we get about you should do this could come from our parents, for example. And sometimes we need to reach beyond that. And we do that with the help of people who are supportive of what our goals and dreams are. And a coach can be really helpful in guiding us through that and saying, "Well, I've been there and this is how I got over it. And you just do the step next and do the step next and you'll get there."
So as, you know, as people are learning and stepping into new roles, being challenged in new areas, they're really leaving behind their previous lives. And even, you know, in your own life, you shifted from AutoCAD to helping people, you know, share their wisdom with the world. What do you do with that previous life? How can you make that jump and disattach yourself? And you know, it's because that was part of who you were for years and years. And what does that transition look like?
Well, and before that, I had a full-time job. I was a benefits manager at a bank and assistant vice president benefits manager. And before that, you know, I worked in corporate before that. So I will say that I got thrown into working for myself by having children. And that's a pretty common experience, especially for women, although not only, because it depends who's taking care of the kids. But in this case, I was home with young children and I needed to find some way to make money out of my house. And I started by writing and first editing technical books and then writing technical books. And so by then I was already self-employed. And so it was easy. And at that time, like in 1999, it was just the very beginning when there was this thing of having an author platform where you had a website and you had your own following. And you promoted your own books. Before that, publishers did pretty much everything, except maybe you went on a book tour, but nobody goes on a book tour for books about PowerPoint and AutoCAD. They just don't.
Well, so no one's going on a tour during COVID.
Yeah, I know. But there are virtual, definitely virtual tours, but they usually do it for different types of books. So I did get thrown into that. But there are different ways of doing it. So some people have a full-time job and they start their own business as a side gig, and they do it kind of gradually before they make the leap. Some people have a spouse that supports them while they're doing it, and some people just make the leap. You know, they do, very often people have saved up some money, and maybe they're a little bit later in life. Maybe they lose a job, and that throws them into it, or maybe they retire and they have that retirement income and then they do that. So there's just lots of different ways of doing it. The scariest way is to just jump in with no safety net. But people do that. And again, if that's what you're doing, then I would strongly recommend having a coach, because otherwise you can really go in the wrong direction and that could be a disaster.
What would you say for someone who feels like they just want to take the next step? You know, they're completely new to the idea of having an online business. They're in their home. They want to get their voice out in the world, and they're discovering. They're seeing what's possible, and they see so many success stories out there, and they just feel like it's too much to become, you know, that person that they compare themselves to, and it's a little bit overwhelming. How would you make this manageable and sure for them to get on a sure footing? What's the first step that you would recommend?
I think the first step is to outline the knowledge that you have, what you want to offer, to really make it clear what you want to offer to the world, what that knowledge is. Too often it's just in people's heads and they haven't gotten it out on paper. So you need to create that outline and see what you have available to give to the world. And that makes it concrete, not only to yourself, but it'll be able to be concrete to other people when you offer it. I think the second step is to find somebody that you trust that's gone through that process, that has a process. So some coaches just kind of do one-on-one coaching or something like that, and it's not so much of a process. But I like the idea of a course or a process, so that if you start with that knowledge and you have that outline there, then you're going to define what I call the business capsule, which is who your target market, who your knowledge is for, what that knowledge is that's so special, what problem you're solving for those people, how you solve it. And then that becomes the basis of your business. And so then you start creating the, what I call the building blocks of the business, which would be your website and your social media accounts and your email and that. And again, having a process for that is really, really helpful. And then you would go through the next part of it. So I say that an online business has really only three parts to it: an audience, a relationship with that audience, and something to offer that audience, something that's relevant for that specific audience. So you start building your audience, and you do that through offering something for free and promoting it, and through working with partners. And you develop the relationship by ongoing emails and blogging, for example, writing articles, so people learn what you have to offer, and they start to know, like, and trust you, respect what you have to offer, and see that you're an expert. And so you develop that relationship. And then finally, you create these products and you work and you promote it to your list and through partners, something that's going to help those people on your list. So that's your offer. So there you have your audience and your relationship and your offer. And you go through a whole process of developing that. And at the end, you've sold your product.
Well, that's,
and you've gotten your knowledge out to the world and you've helped people.
That's fantastic, Ellen. Thank you so much for your time. If people listening in today wanted to go deeper with you, do you have any free resource you could share with them? What would the next step of getting to know you further would be? And also any process to help them turn their knowledge into an income?
I have an outline for how to partner with other people. And this is really crucial for when you get to the point that you want to build your audience, because you do that with partners, and when you want to promote something, because you do that with partners as well. And I've discovered that people are sometimes a little shy about that. So I do want to help people build their business. I call it multiply your business with partnering. And while I have a whole course on that, I do have something for free that's really pretty complete. And so they can go to ellenhelps.me/partnering to get that. And that will really help them be a little bit more mature in their development of their business, more successful in the development of their business. And in general, if they want to just see what I have to offer more generally, they can just go to my website, which is changetheworldmarketing.com. And I call it changetheworldmarketing.com because my clients have that knowledge that can change the world.
Well, thank you for your time today, Ellen. And thank you for helping others change the world through their wisdom and making an income and making it sustainable. So it's wonderful to have you. And
thank you. It was an honor.
It has been.